At the back of a long, low building in South Minneapolis, spokesman, recorder, CEO, and publisher Tracy Williams Dillard shows me her latest work in progress. It's a makeshift newspaper archive she hopes to one day turn into a real museum.
This room has 80 years of history, 52 editions a year. We come out every Thursday. And so there's 52 times 80 is a lot of history.
She leafs through some photographs. Floor-to-ceiling shelves here overflow with yellowing newsprint. For Williams Dillard, this room also holds more personal memories.
Cecil E. Newman is my grandfather.
Newman was born in Kansas City in 1903. At 17, he headed north with about a dollar in his pocket. Williams Dillard says her grandfather thought he'd face less racial prejudice in the North, but lunch in a Minnesota restaurant quickly put a damper on things.
Took a bite of his hamburger and it was laced with salt. So although he thought he was moving to a land of opportunity, he realized it was different than where he left, but not as different as he had thought.
Newman settled in Minneapolis. He rented a downtown storefront and put out his first newspaper in 1934. To make ends meet, he worked full-time crossing the country on railroad trains. Williams Dillard says that's where he wrote most of his weekly columns.
So he was in and out of town a lot, and he'd write while he was traveling, because his main writing that my grandfather did was all editorial content.
Back home, Newman's wife, Leuna, kept the office going. She worked late nights organizing and printing the paper for Metro newsstands. And it was Leuna who first introduced Williams Dillard to the family business.
My grandmother brought me in so that I could learn how to run the addressograph machine. Addressograph. At that time, it was how labels got put on newspapers. I ran that machine at the tender age of 8.
The Newman family built this facility on 4th Avenue South in 1954. The neighborhood then was the heart of South Minneapolis's Black community. Newman's editorials continued to address news and issues that were important to the people in the neighborhood. He pushed for equal education and equal treatment by white shop owners. With his pen, he fought racial discrimination in housing and employment. Newman's outspoken advocacy, though, came with real risks. Williams Dillard says that's why he constructed the new building with a secret passageway.
Because of the times that he was publishing a newspaper and the stories that he was telling, there could have been a need for him to make a fast exit. So he had the building built so you can go from the front door all the way through the building and not be seen in the hallway.
Her grandfather luckily never had to use the escape hatch he built. Williams Dillard says Newman's diplomatic personality earned him the trust of Black and white political leaders alike. Luminaries like Vice President Hubert Humphrey, Senator Walter Mondale, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
He wasn't radical, but he was strong on what he knew was wrong and how he felt he could make it right by continuing to talk about that issue on his editorial page. Until he seen change, and change did come in a lot of ways.
Over at Augsburg College, history professor Bill Green says to keep his paper going, Newman faced a dilemma that was typical for his time. How to write about the often difficult realities of African Americans without making too many enemies.
You're constantly walking this tightrope. If I want to print a story about police abuse, I'm going to have to write a story about church activity. I'm going to have to write about some great deed that, you know, white people did for us. I'm going to have to say that. Prominently display a Republican candidate if they want to run for office.
Minnesota's African-American population was relatively small compared to other cities. By 1900, less than 1% was Black. That's why even the spokesman's lighter stories about parties, social events, and whose kids got into which colleges carried tremendous weight.
And that's a form of empowerment. That's the reason why Cecil Newman's efforts and the spokesman were so important to Black Minnesota in the 20th century.
And it was smart business. The Newman family newspaper generated intense loyalty in the Twin Cities. Back in South Minneapolis at the spokesman recorder offices, CEO and publisher Tracy Williams Dillard says her grandfather was ahead of his time in so many ways. She says the paper still has an important role to play today.
We can't allow things going on that affect our people and not be weighing in on it and not standing up for our people, because that's why we exist. We're the voice for the voiceless. And that's what we do. That's what our job is.
Newman passed away in 1976. This summer, the building where his family still publishes the newspaper he founded is under consideration for historic preservation designation by the city of Minneapolis. It could be approved as early as this fall. For KFAI, I'm Jess Mador. Funding for 10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.